From where he stands, he dips down a little to meet my eyes.
Do you want it to be here, or my room?
I shrug nervously. I don't want to go to his room because it's too far. The drive will give me too much time to overthink what I am about to do. Here, I say, and look around. There's no one in sight, and I pray that no one will come here.
Eager?
He smiles, and I try to roll my eyes, but it probably looks like a desperate flutter. The heat in my body is slowly burning out the longer Hardin's touch is not on me.
Come here,
he says in a low voice, and the heat returns. My feet pad quietly across the soft grass until I'm only inches from Hardin. His hands immediately reach for the hem of the T-shirt, and he peels it upward off my body. The way he looks at me alone drives me crazy. My hormones are out of control. My pulse speeds up as he looks my body up and down one more time before taking my hand. He spreads his shirt on the grass like a blanket of sorts.
Lie down,
he says, guiding me to the ground with him. He lays me on the wet fabric and props himself up on his elbow, lying on his side, facing me on my back. No one has ever seen me this exposed before, and Hardin has seen so many girls, girls much better looking than me. My hands move up to cover my body, but Hardin sits up and grabs both of my wrists and pushes them down to my sides.
Don't ever cover up. Not for me,
he says, and looks into my eyes. It's just, I begin to explain, but he cuts me off.
No, you will not cover up. You have nothing to be ashamed of, Tess.
Does he mean that?
I mean it. Look at you,
he continues, seeming to read my mind. You've been with so many girls, I blurt out, and he frowns.
None like you.
And I know I could take his answer many different ways, but I choose to let it go. Do you have a condom? I ask him, trying to remember the few things I know about sex.
A condom?
He chuckles.
I'm not going to have sex with you,
he says, and I begin to panic. Is this all a game to humiliate me? Oh, is all I say, and begin to pull myself up, but he grabs my shoulders and gently pushes me back down. I'm sure I'm flush red, and I don't want to be exposed to his sarcastic eyes like this.
Where are you going?
He starts, but then realization hits him.
Oh, no, Tess, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant that you've never done anything, like, at all, so I am not going to have sex with you.
He stares at me for a moment.
Today,
he adds, and I feel a little bit of the pressure in my chest dissolve.
There are many other things I want to do to you first.
He climbs on top of me, all of his weight supported on his hands. He is in a push-up position. His wet hair drips water droplets onto my face, and I squirm.
I can't believe no one has fucked you before,
he whispers, and he shifts his body to lie on his side once again. He brings his hand to my neck and trails it down, touching me only with his fingertips, down the valley of my breasts, down my stomach until he stops just above my underwear. We are really doing this, me and Hardin. What is he going to do? Will it hurt? 100 thoughts race through my mind but disappear as soon as his hand reaches into my panties. I hear him suck a breath through his teeth and he brings his mouth to mine. His fingers move a little, and it shocks me.
Does that feel good?
He asks into my mouth. He's only rubbing me. How does it feel so good? I nod, and he slows his fingers down.
Does it feel better than when you do it?
What?
Does it?
He asks again. What? I manage, even though I have no control of my body or mind right now.
When you touch yourself, does it feel like this?
I'm not sure what to say, and when I just stare at him, something behind his eyes snaps too.
Wait. You've never done that either, have you?
His voice is full of surprise and something else. Lust? He goes back to kissing me, and his fingers keep moving up and down.
You're so responsive to me. So wet,
he says, and I moan. Why are these filthy words so hot when Hardin says them? I feel a gentle pinch, and it sends a shock through my whole body. What was that? I ask, half-moan. He chuckles and doesn't answer, but I feel him do it again, and my back arches off the grass. His mouth travels down to my neck, then my chest. His tongue dips down under the cup of my bra, and his hand massages one of my breasts. I feel a pressure building in my stomach, and it is pure bliss. I pinch my eyes closed and bite down on my lip. My back lifts off the grass once again, and my legs begin to shake.
"That's right, Tessa. Come for me,"
he says, which makes me feel like I am spiraling out of control.
"Look at me, baby,"
he purrs. I open my eyes. The sight of his mouth nipping the skin on my chest sends me over the edge, and my vision goes white for a few seconds. "Harden," I say, and then repeat, and I can tell by the way his cheeks flush that he loves it. Slowly he pulls his hand out and rests it on my stomach as I try to return my breathing to normal. My body had never felt so energized before, and it's never felt so relaxed as this now.
"I'll give you a minute to recover,"
he laughs to himself and moves away from me. I frown. I want him to stay close, but I'm also strangely unable to speak. After the best few minutes of my life, I sit up and look toward Harden. He already has his jeans and shoes on. "We're leaving already?" The embarrassment is clear in my voice. I had assumed he would want me to touch him, too. Even if I don't really know what to do, he could explain it to me.
"Yeah. You wanted to stay longer?"
I just thought... I don't know. I thought maybe you would want something. I have no idea how to say this. Lucky for me, he catches on.
"Oh, no. I'm okay for now,"
he says and gives me a small smile. Is he going to go back to being mean again? I hope not, not after this. I have just shared the most intimate experience I have ever had with him. I won't be able to stand it if he treats me terribly again. He did say for now, so he wants something later? I am already starting to regret this. I put my clothes on over my wet bra and panties and try to ignore the soft wetness between my thighs. Harden picks up his wet shirt and hands it to me. He takes in my confused expression and tells me to towel off. His eyes shift to the apex of my thighs. Oh. I unbutton my pants, and he doesn't bother to turn around as I swipe the shirt across my sensitive skin there. I don't miss the way his tongue brushes across his bottom lip while he watches me. He pulls his cell phone from the pocket of his jeans, and his thumb slides across the screen repeatedly. I finish doing what he recommended and hand him his shirt back. As I step into my shoes, the air around us has changed from passionate to distant, and I find myself wishing to be as far away from him as possible. I wait for him to talk to me as we walk back to the car, but he doesn't say anything. My mind is already coming up with every possible worst-case scenario for what happens next. He opens my door for me, and I nod to thank him.
"Is something wrong?"
he asks me while he drives back down the gravel road. I don't know. "Why are you being so weird now?" I ask him, even though I'm afraid of his answer and can't look directly at him.
"I'm not. You are."
"No, you haven't said a word to me since... you know."
"Since I gave you your first orgasm?"
My mouth drops and my cheeks flush. Why am I still surprised by his dirty mouth? Yeah. "Since that, you haven't said anything. You just got dressed and we left." Honesty seems to be the best option right now, so I add, "It makes me feel like you're using me or something."
"What? Of course I'm not using you. To use someone, I would have to be getting something out of it,"
he says, so offhandedly that I can suddenly feel the tears coming. I do my best to keep them back, but one escapes.
"Are you crying? What did I say?"
He reaches over and puts his hand on my thigh. To my surprise, it soothes me.
"I didn't mean it like that. I am sorry. I'm not used to whatever is supposed to happen after messing around with someone. Plus, I wasn't going to just drop you off at your room and go our separate ways. I thought maybe we could get some dinner or something. I'm sure you're starving."
He squeezes my thigh gently. I smile back at him, relieved by his words. I wipe away the tear that escaped prematurely, and with it goes my worry. I don't know what it is about Harden that makes me so emotional in every way possible. The idea of him using me makes me more upset than it should. My feelings for Hardin are so confusing. I hate him one minute and want to kiss him the next. He makes me feel things I never knew I could, and not just sexually. He makes me laugh and cry, yell and scream. But most of all, he makes me feel alive. Chapter 26. Hardin's hand is still on my thigh, and I hope he never removes it. I take a quick opportunity to study some of the tattoos covering his arms. The infinity symbol above his wrist catches my eye again, and I can't help but wonder if it means something to him. It feels personal, inked there, just above the bare skin on his hand. I check his other wrist for a matching symbol, but there isn't one. The infinity symbol is common enough, mostly among women, but the way the two hoops on the ends are hearts makes me even more curious.
"So, what type of food do you like?"
he asks. What a refreshingly normal question for him to ask me. I pull my matted, almost dry hair into a bun and think for a second about what I want to eat. Well, I like anything, really, as long as I know what it is, and it doesn't involve ketchup. He laughs.
"You don't like ketchup? Aren't all Americans supposed to be wild for the stuff?"
he teases. I have no idea, but it's disgusting. We both laugh, and I look over at Hardin, who says,
"Let's just stick with a plain diner, then."
I nod, and he reaches to turn the music up, but stops and puts his hand back on me.
"So what do you plan on doing after college?"
he asks. It's something he's already asked me before, in his room. "I'm going to move to Seattle immediately, and I hope to work at a publishing house or be a writer. I know it's silly," I say, suddenly embarrassed by my high ambitions. "But you already asked me that before, remember?"
"No, it's not. I know someone over at Vance Publishing House. It's a bit of a drive, but maybe you should apply there for an internship. I could talk to him."
"What? You would do that for me?" My voice goes high because I'm pretty surprised. Even if he's been nice for the last hour, this isn't quite what I expected.
"Yeah, it's not a big deal."
He seems a little embarrassed. I am sure he isn't used to doing nice things. "Wow, thank you. Really, I need to get a job or internship soon anyway, and that would literally be a dream come true." I clap my hands. He chuckles and shakes his head.
"You're welcome."
We pull into a small parking lot next to an old brick building.
"The food here is amazing,"
he says, and climbs out of the car. Walking around to the trunk, he opens it and pulls out another plain black T-shirt. He really must have an endless supply. I was enjoying him being shirtless so much that I forgot he would eventually have to put one back on. When we get inside, we seat ourselves in the fairly deserted place. An old woman walks to the table and goes to hand us our menus, but he waves them off, ordering a hamburger and fries, gesturing like I should do the same. I trust him on this one and order it, minus ketchup, of course. While we wait, I tell Hardin about growing up in Richland, which, being from England, he's never heard of. He isn't missing out on much. The town is small and everyone does the same things and no one ever leaves. Everyone except me. I will never move back there. He doesn't offer me much information about his past, but I'm hopeful and patient. He seems very curious about my life as a child, and he frowns when I tell him about my dad's drinking. I had mentioned it to him before, while we were fighting, but this time I went into a little more detail. During a pause in the conversation, the waitress reappears with our food, which looks delicious.
"Good, huh?"
Hardin asks as I take my first bite. I nod and wipe my mouth off. The food is amazing, and we both clear our plates, me being more hungry than I've ever been before. The drive back to the dorms is relaxed. His long fingers rub circles on my leg, and I'm disappointed to see the WCU sign when we finally hit campus in the student parking lot. "Did you have a nice time?" I ask him. I feel so much closer to him now than I did a few hours ago. He can be really good when he tries to be.
"Yeah, I did, actually."
He seems surprised.
"Listen, I would walk you to your room, but I don't want to play 20 questions with Steph."
He smiles and turns his body sideways to face me. "It's fine. I'll just see you tomorrow," I tell him. I'm not sure if I should try to kiss him goodbye or not. so I'm relieved when his fingers tug on a few loose strands of my hair and tuck them behind my ear. I rest my face in his palm, and he leans over and touches his lips to mine. It starts as a simple and gentle kiss, but I feel it warm my entire body, and I need more. Hardin grabs my arm and pulls it to gesture for me to climb over the middle divider. I quickly oblige and straddle his lap, my back hitting the steering wheel. I feel the seat recline slightly, giving us more room as I lift his shirt a little to slide my hands under it. His stomach is hard and his skin is hot. I trace my fingers along the ink there. His tongue massages mine and he wraps his arms around me tightly. The feeling is almost painful, but it's a pain I will gladly endure to be this close to him. He moans into my mouth as I put my hands farther up his shirt. I love that I can make him moan too, that I have this effect on him. I'm really about to get lost in the sensation again when we are interrupted by my phone ringing.
Another alarm?
He teases as I pull back and reach into my purse. Smiling, I open my mouth to say something smart back at him, but when I look at the screen and see it's Noah, I stop. Looking at Hardin, I can tell he's figured it out. His expression changes, and fearing that I'm losing him, this mood, I hit the ignore button and toss my phone back onto the passenger seat. I am not thinking about Noah right now. I push him to the back corner of my mind and lock that door. I lean back in to continue kissing Hardin, but he stops me.
I think I better go.
His tone is clipped and sends worry through me. When I draw back to look at him, his gaze is distant and ice immediately replaces the fire in my body. Hardin, I ignored it. I am going to talk to him about all this. I just don't know how or when, but it will be soon, though, I promise. I knew somewhere in the back of my mind that I would have to break up with Noah the moment I kissed Hardin that first time. I can't date him if I've already betrayed him. It would always hang over my head like a dark cloud of guilt, and neither of us wants that. The way I feel about Hardin is another reason I can't be with Noah anymore. I love Noah, but if I really loved him the way he deserves to be loved, I wouldn't be having these feelings for Hardin. I don't want to hurt Noah, but there is no turning back now.
Talk to him about what?
He snaps. All of this. I wave my hands around. Us.
Us? You're not trying to tell me you're going to break up with him from me, are you?
My head starts to spin. I know I should climb off his lap, but I am frozen. You don't want me to? My voice comes out as a whisper.
No, why would you? I mean, yeah, if you want to dump him, go for it, but don't do it on my behalf.
I start to fumble my words.
I already told you that I don't date Teresa,
he says. My body wants to freeze like a deer in headlights. The only thing that makes it possible for me to climb off him is the fact that I refuse to let him see me cry again. You're disgusting, I say bitterly, and grab my stuff from the floorboards and my phone from the seat. Hardin looks like he wants to say something, but he doesn't.
Stay away from me from now on. I mean it,
I shout, and he closes his eyes. I walk as fast as I can to my building, to my room, somehow managing to hold in my tears until I get inside and shut the door. I am so grateful Steph's gone as I slide down the door and break into sobs. How could I be so stupid? I knew how he was when I agreed to be alone with him, yet I practically jumped at the opportunity. Just because he was nice to me today, I got it into my head that, what, that he would be my boyfriend? I laugh through my sobs at how stupid and naive I am. I really can't even be angry with Hardin. He told me he doesn't date. But today we had such a nice time. He was actually pleasant and playful, and I thought we were really building a relationship of some kind. But it was all an act, just so he could get into my pants. And I let him. Chapter 27 My tears dry, and I am showered and somewhat mentally stable by the time Steph returns from the movies.
So how was your hangout with Hardin?
She asks and grabs her pajamas out of her dresser. It was okay. He was his normal, charming self, I tell her and manage a laugh. I want to tell her about what we did, but I'm too ashamed. I know she wouldn't judge me, and despite wanting to be able to tell someone, I also really don't want anyone to know. Steph looks at me with concern evident in her eyes, and I have to look away.
Just be careful, okay? You're too nice for someone like Harden.
I want to hug her and cry into her shoulder, but instead ask, "How was the movie?" to change the subject. She tells me how Tristan kept feeding her popcorn and that she is really starting to like him. I want to gag, but I know I'm just jealous because Tristan actually likes her in a way Harden doesn't like me. But I remind myself that I do have someone who loves me and that I need to start treating him better and stay away from Harden, for real this time. The next morning, I'm drained. I have no energy and feel like I could cry at any moment. My eyes are red and puffy from crying last night, so I walk over to Steph's dresser and grab her makeup bag. I pull out brown eyeliner and draw a thin line under my eyes and on my eyelid. It makes my eyes look much better. I put a little powder under my eyes to give my skin a little color. A few swipes of mascara and I look like a new person. Pleased with the way I look, I put on my tight jeans and a tank top. Still feeling naked, I grab a white cardigan out of my closet. This is the most effort I have made in my appearance for a regular school day since picture day my senior year of high school. Landon texts me that we'll have to meet in class, so when I stop by the coffee house, I grab him a drink, too. I'm still pretty early to class, so I walk slower than usual.
"Hey, Tessa, right?"
I hear a guy's voice say. I look over and see a preppy boy coming my way. "Yeah, Logan, right?" I ask him, and he nods.
"You coming over again this weekend?"
he asks. He must be part of the frat. Of course he is. He's preppy and gorgeous. "Oh, no, not this weekend," I laugh, and he joins in.
"Bummer. You were fun. Well, if you change your mind, you know where it is. I gotta go, but I'll see you around."
Giving me a fake little tip of the hat, he walks away. In class, Landon is already seated and thanks me repeatedly for bringing him coffee.
"You look different today," he says as I sit down.
I put makeup on, I joke, and he smiles. He doesn't ask about my night with Harden, and I am grateful. I'm not sure what I would say to him. Just as the day gets pleasant and I begin to stop thinking about Harden, it's time for literature. Harden sits in his normal seat in the front. He's wearing a white t-shirt for once, and it's thin enough that his tattoos are visible underneath it. It amazes me how attractive I find his tattoos and piercings when I've never cared for either before. I look away quickly, sit down in my usual seat next to him, and pull out my notes. I'm not giving up my great seat because of one rude boy. Still, I hope Landon arrives soon so I won't feel so alone with Harden.
"Tess,"
Harden whispers as the class begins to fill up.
"No, don't answer him. Ignore him," I repeat to myself.
"Tess,"
he says again, this time louder. "Do not speak to me, Harden," I say through my teeth. I avoid looking at him. I will not fall back into his trap.
"Oh, come on,"
he says, and I can tell he thinks this is all funny. My tone is harsh, but I don't care. "I mean it, Harden. Leave me alone."
"Fine. Have it your way,"
he says equally harshly, and I sigh. Landon walks in, and I am so grateful. Seeing the tension between Harden and me, he asks in his kind tone,
"You okay?"
"Yeah, I'm fine," I lie, and class begins. Harden and I continue ignoring each other all week, and each day that passes without talking to him makes it a little easier to not think about him so much. Steph and Tristan have been hanging out all week, so I've had our room mostly to myself, which has been both good and bad. Good because I get a lot of studying done, but bad because I am left alone with my thoughts about Harden. All week I have been wearing a little bit more makeup, but still my baggy and conservative clothes. By Friday morning I feel like I am really over this whole mess with Harden. That is, until everyone keeps talking about partying at the frat house. Seriously, there is a party there every Friday, and usually Saturday too, so why they feel the need to get excited about it every weekend blows my mind. After being asked by at least 10 people if I will be at the party, I decide to do the only thing I know will keep me from going. I call Noah.
"Hey, Tessa,"
he chirps into the phone. It has been a few days since we've actually talked, and I've missed his voice. "Hey, do you think you could come visit me?" I ask.
"Sure, yeah. Maybe I can come next weekend?"
I groan. "No, I mean like today. Like now. Could you leave right now?"
I know he likes to plan things just like I do, but I need him to come now.
Tessa, I have practice after school. I am still at school now, just at lunch,
he explains. Please, Noah, I really miss you. Can't you just leave now and come here for the weekend? Please? I know I'm begging, but I don't care.
Yeah, sure, Tessa. I'll come now. Is everything okay?
Happiness floods me. I'm really surprised that squeaky clean Noah is agreeing to this, but I am so glad he is. Yeah, I just really miss you. I haven't seen you in almost 2 weeks, I remind him. He laughs.
I miss you too. I am going to get a slip and leave in a few minutes, so I will see you in about 3 hours. I love you, Tessa.
I love you too, I say, and hang up. Well, that settles that. Any chance that I might have ended up at that party is now gone. A newfound sense of relief fills me as I walk to literature and into the gorgeous old brick building the class is in. That sense of relief vanishes when I walk into the classroom and see Hardin hovering over Landon's desk. What the hell? I rush over just as Hardin slams his hand on the desk and growls,
"Don't ever say some shit like that again, you prick."
Landon moves to stand up, but he would be insane to try to fight Hardin. Landon is muscular and all, but he's so kind, I can't imagine him hitting anyone. I grab hold of Hardin's arm and pull him back away from Landon. His other hand rises into the air and I flinch, but once he realizes it's me, he drops his hand and curses under his breath. "Leave him alone, Hardin," I yell and turn to Landon. He looks just as mad as Hardin does, but he sits down.
"You need to mind your own business, Teresa,"
Hardin snidely says and moves to his seat. He really should sit in the back somewhere. Sitting between them, I lean over and whisper to Landon, "Are you okay? What was that about?" He looks toward Hardin and sighs.
"He is just an asshole. That pretty much sums it up,"
he says loudly and puts on a chipper grin. I giggle a little and straighten up. I can hear Hardin's ragged breathing next to me and I get an idea. A childish idea, but I do it anyway. "I have some good news," I tell Landon in my best mock cheery voice.
"Really? What's that?"
"Noah's coming to visit today, and he'll be here all weekend," I say, and smile while clapping my hands together. I know I'm overdoing it, but I feel Hardin's eyes on me, and I know he heard me.
"Really? That is great news,"
Landon says earnestly. Class begins and ends without Hardin saying a word to me. This is how it will be from now on, and it's fine with me. I wish Landon a nice weekend and walk back to my room to touch up my makeup and grab something to eat before Noah gets here. I laugh at myself a little while doing my makeup. Since when am I the type of girl who has to touch up her makeup before her boyfriend comes? I sense that it's since that day at the stream with Hardin, an experience that changed me, though the way he hurt me after changed me even more. The makeup is only a slight change, but I know it is there. I eat and straighten my room up a little, folding Steph's clothes and putting them away. I hope she won't mind. Noah finally texts that he's here, and I jump off the bed where I was resting and rush outside to greet him. He looks better than ever in navy blue pants, a cream cardigan, and a white shirt underneath. He really does wear a lot of cardigans, but I love them. His welcoming smile warms my heart, and he wraps his arms around me and tells me how nice it is to see me. As we walk back to my room, he looks at me for a moment and asks,
"Are you wearing makeup?"
"Yeah, a little. It's just something I've been experimenting with," I explain. He smiles.
"It looks nice,"
he says, and kisses my forehead. In my room, we end up browsing through the romantic comedy section on Netflix to pick a movie. Steph texts me and says she is with Tristan and won't be back tonight, so I turn the lights off and we sit back against my headboard, Noah's arm around my shoulder and my head on his chest. This is me, I think, not some wild girl swimming in a punk boy's t-shirt. We start up a movie that I've never heard of before, and not 5 minutes into it, the door bursts open. I immediately figure that maybe Steph has forgotten something she needs. But of course, it's Hardin. His eyes go straight to where Noah and I are cuddled on the bed, illuminated by the TV light. I flush. He's come here to tell Noah, I know it. Panic takes over my body, and I scoot away from my boyfriend, making it seem like I'd just made a surprised little jump. "What are you doing here?" I snap. "You can't just barge in here." Hardin smiles.
I'm meeting Steph.
He answers and sits down.
Hey, Noah. Nice to see you again.
He smirks and Noah looks uncomfortable. He is probably wondering why Hardin has a key to the room and doesn't bother to knock. She's with Tristan, probably already at your house, I tell him slowly, silently pleading for him to leave. If he tells Noah now, I have no idea how I could recover.
Oh?
He says. I can tell by his smirk that he came here just to torment me. He will probably stay until I come clean to Noah myself.
Are you two coming to the party?
No, we aren't. We're trying to watch a movie, I tell him, and Noah reaches over and takes my hand. Even in the dark, I can see Hardin's eyes focus on where Noah's hand touches mine.
That's too bad. I better go.
He turns toward the door, and I feel some relief, but then he twists back.
Oh, and Noah?
He begins, making my heart drop.
That's a nice cardigan you're wearing.
I let out a breath I didn't know I was holding.
Thanks. It's from the Gap,
Noah says. He is clueless and unaware that Hardin is making fun of him.
I can see that. You two have fun,
Hardin says, and leaves the room. Chapter 28.
He's not so bad, I guess,
Noah says when the door closes. I laugh nervously. What? And when he raises his eyebrow at me, I continue. Nothing, I'm just surprised to hear you say that. I lie back onto his chest. The electricity that filled the room moments ago has dissolved.
I'm not saying I would want to hang out with the guy, but he was friendly enough.
Hardin is nothing even close to friendly, I say, and Noah chuckles and wraps his arm around me. If he only knew the things that happened between Hardin and me, the way we kissed, the way I moaned his name while he... God, Tessa, just stop. I lean my head up and kiss Noah's jaw, making him smile. I want Noah to make me feel the way Hardin does. I sit up and turn to face him. I take his face between my hands and press my lips against his. His mouth opens and he kisses me back. His lips are soft, just like his kiss. It's not enough. I need the fire. I need the passion. I wrap my hands around his neck and pull myself onto his lap.
Whoa, Tessa, what are you doing?
He asks and tries to push me off gently. What? Nothing, I want to make out, I guess, I say, and look down. I'm usually not embarrassed in front of Noah, but this isn't something we usually talk about.
Okay,
he says, and I kiss him again. I feel warmth from him, but not the fire. I start to rock my hips, hoping to light it somehow. His hands go down to my waist, but he pushes them against me, stopping my movements. I know we agreed to wait until marriage, but we're just kissing here. I grab his hands and pull them away and continue to rock against him. No matter how many times I try to kiss him harder, his mouth stays soft and timid. I can feel him getting turned on, but he won't act on it. I know I am doing this for all the wrong reasons, but I don't care at the moment. I just need to know that Noah can do to me what Hardin does. It isn't actually Hardin that I want, it's the feeling. Isn't it? I stop kissing Noah and slide off his lap.
That was nice, Tessa.
He smiles and I give him one back. It was nice. He is so careful. Too careful. But I love him. I press play on the movie and within minutes I feel myself drifting off.
I should go.
Hardin says, his green eyes looking down at me. Go where? I don't want him to go.
I'm going to stay at a hotel close by. I'll come back in the morning,
he says, and after I stare at him a moment, his face fades into Noah's. I jolt up and wipe my eyes. Noah, it is Noah. It was never Hardin.
You're obviously really sleepy, and I can't stay the night here.
Noah says gently and brushes my cheek. I want him to stay, but now I'm afraid of what I will see or say in my sleepy state. Noah clearly doesn't think it's decent for him to stay in my room anyway. Hardin and Noah are polar opposites, in every way. Okay, thank you again for coming, I mumble, and he kisses me lightly on the cheek before sliding out from under me.
I love you,
he says. I nod. Bury my head back into my pillow and descend into dreams I don't remember.
The next morning, I wake up to Noah calling on the phone. He tells me he is on his way, so I roll out of bed and rush to the showers, wondering what Noah and I should do today. There isn't much to do around here unless we go into town. Maybe I should text Landon and ask what there is to do around here besides party at a frat house. He seems to be my only friend who would know. Having decided to wear my gray pleated skirt and a plain blue shirt, I ignore Harden's voice in the back of my head telling me that it's ugly and dress in the stall. Noah is in the hall waiting by my door as I return with the towel still in my hair.
"You look lovely,"
he says with a smile and puts his arm over my shoulder as I open the door. "I just need to do my hair and put a little makeup on," I tell him, and grab Steph's makeup bag, which I'm glad she didn't take with her. I will need to get some of my own now that I know I like the way it looks. Noah sits patiently on my bed as I dry my hair and curl the ends. I stop and give him a kiss on the cheek before I apply my makeup. "What do you want to do today?" I finish with mascara and fluff my hair.
"College really suits you, Tessa. You have never looked better,"
Noah says.
"I don't know. Maybe we can go to a park or something, then dinner?"
I look at the clock. How is it already 1 p.m.? I text Steph and tell her I will be out most of the day, and she responds saying she will be gone until tomorrow. She basically lives at Harden's fraternity house on the weekends. Noah opens the passenger door of his Toyota. His parents made sure he had the safest car, the newest model. The interior is spotless. No stacks of books, no dirty clothing. We drive around to find a park, which only takes a little bit. It's a small, quiet space with half-green, half-yellowing grass and a few trees. As we pull into a spot, Noah asks,
"Hey, when are you going to start looking for a car?"
"I think this week, actually. I'm going to apply for jobs this week, too. I don't mention the internship at Vance Publishing that Harden dangled in front of me. I don't know if I can still get it, or how I'd tell Noah if I did."
"That is great news. Let me know if you need any help with either of those,"
he says. We walk around the park once and then sit at a picnic table. Noah talks most of the time and I nod along. I find myself zoning in and out of the conversation, but he doesn't seem to notice. We end up walking a little more and come to a small stream. I snort at the irony and Noah looks at me quizzically. "Do you want to swim?" I ask, not quite sure why I push this moment further.
"In there? No way," he says laughing.
And as I deflate a little, I mentally smack myself. I need to stop comparing Noah to Harden. "I was just joking," I lie, and drag him along down the trail. It is 7 before we leave the park, so we decide to order pizza when we get back to my room and watch a classic, Meg Ryan falling in love with Tom Hanks through a radio show. I am starving by the time the pizza comes, so I eat almost half of it myself. In my defense, I haven't eaten all day. Halfway through the movie, my phone rings and Noah reaches over to grab it for me.
"Who's Landon?"
he asks. There is no suspicion in his voice, only curiosity. He has never been the jealous type. He never needed to be. Until now, my subconscious reminds me. "He's a friend from school," I say, and answer. Why would Landon be calling me so late? He's never called me for anything other than to compare notes.
"Tessa?"
Landon says loudly. "Yeah, is everything okay?"
Well, no, actually. I know Noah is there, but..."
He hesitates. "What's wrong, Landon? My heart starts to race. Are you okay?"
"Yeah, it's not me. It's Harden."
Panic overtakes me. "Harden?" I stutter.
"Yeah. If I give you an address, can you come here, please?"
I hear something crash in the background. I jump off my bed and I have my shoes on before my mind catches up. Noah stands up too, almost as if in sympathy. "Landon, is Harden trying to hurt you?" My mind can't make sense of what else could be going on.
"No, no,"
he says. "Text me the address," I tell him, and then hear another crash. I turn to Noah. "Noah, I need your car." His head turns sideways.
"What is going on?"
"I don't know. It's Harden. Give me your keys," I demand. He reaches into his pocket and pulls them out, but says insistently,
"I'm coming with you."
But I snatch the keys from his hands and shake my head. "No, you... I need to go alone." My words hurt him. He looks hurt,
and I know it's wrong to leave him here, but right now the only thing I can think about is getting to Harden. Chapter 29. Landon's text reads 2875 Cornell Road, which I copy and paste into my maps program, which says the drive is 15 minutes. What could be going on there that Landon could possibly need me? I'm just as confused when I arrive at the address as I was when I left my room. Noah has called twice, both of which I've ignored. I need the navigation to stay on the screen, and honestly, the confused look on his face when I left him there is haunting me. The houses on the street are all large and look like mansions. This house in particular is at least three times larger than my mother's. It's an old-fashioned brick house with a sloped yard that makes it appear to be sitting on a hill. Even under the streetlights, it's beautiful. I'm guessing this must be Harden's father's house, since this doesn't belong to a college kid and it's the only reason why Landon would be here as well. I take a deep breath, get out, and walk up the steps from the sidewalk. I knock hard on the dark mahogany door and it opens within seconds.
Tessa, thank you for coming. I'm sorry, I know you have company. Is Noah with you?
Landon asks and looks out to the car while gesturing me inside. No, he's back at the dorms. What's going on? Where's Harden?
The backyard. He is out of control.
He sighs. And I am here because, I ask as nicely as I can, what does Harden, being out of control, have to do with me?
I don't know. I know you hate him, but you do talk to him. He's really drunk, completely belligerent. He showed up here and opened a bottle of his father's scotch. He drank over half the bottle, and then he started breaking things. All my mother's dishes, a glass cabinet, basically everything he could get his hands on.
What? Why? Harden told me he doesn't drink. Was that a lie, too?
His dad just told him that he and my mother are getting married.
Okay. I'm still confused. So Harden doesn't want them to get married, I ask, as Landon leads me through the large kitchen, where I gasp as I take in the huge mess Harden has made. Broken dishes are scattered across the floor, and a large wooden cabinet has been knocked over, its glass panels shattered.
No, but it's a long story. Right after his dad called and told him, they left town for the weekend to celebrate. I think that's why Harden came here, to confront his dad. He never comes here.
He explains and opens the back door. I see a shadow sitting at a small table on the patio. Harden. I don't know what you think I can do, but I'll try. Landon nods. He leans down and puts his hand on my shoulder.
He was calling out for you.
He tells me quietly, and my heart stops. I walk toward Harden and he looks up at me. His eyes are bloodshot and his hair is hidden under a gray beanie. His eyes go wide, then darken, and I want to step back. He looks almost scary under the dim patio light.
How did you get here?
Harden says loudly and stands up. Landon, he... I answer, then wish I hadn't.
You fucking called her?
He yells toward Landon, who for his part walks back inside. You leave him alone, Harden. He is worried about you, I scold. He sits back down, gesturing for me to take a seat, too. I sit across from him and watch as he grabs the mostly empty bottle of dark liquor and puts it to his mouth. I watch his Adam's apple move as he gulps it down. When he's finished, he slams the bottle down onto the glass of the patio table, and it makes me jump, thinking either the bottle or the table or both might break.
Ah, aren't you two something? You both are so predictable. Poor Harden is upset, so you gang up on me and try to make me feel bad for breaking some shitty china,
he drawls with a sick smirk. I thought you don't drink? I ask him and cross my arms.
I don't, until now, I guess. Don't try to patronize me. You're no better than me.
He points a finger at me, then grabs the bottle for another swig. And it's scary, but I can't deny that being near him, even in his drunken state, breathes life into me. I have missed the feeling Harden gives me. I never said I was better than you. I just want to know what made you drink now.
What does it matter to you? Where's your boyfriend?
His eyes blaze into mine, and the emotion behind them is so strong that I am forced to look away. If only I knew what that emotion was. Hatred, I suppose. He's back in my room. I just want to help you, Harden. I lean a little over the table to reach for his hand, but he recoils from my touch.
Help me,
he cackles. I want to ask him why he was calling out for me if he is going to continue to be hateful, but I don't want to throw Landon under the bus again.
If you want to help me, then leave.
Why won't you just tell me what's going on? I look down at my hands and pick at my fingernails. He sighs and pulls his beanie off and runs his hand through his hair before pulling it back on.
My father decided to tell me just now that he is marrying Karen, and the wedding's next month. He should have told me long ago and not over the phone. I'm sure perfect little Landon's known for a while.
Oh, I hadn't actually expected him to tell me, so I'm not sure what to say. I'm sure he had his reasons not to tell you.
You don't know him. He doesn't give a shit about me. You know how many times I've talked to him in the last year? Maybe 10. All he cares about is his big house, his new soon-to-be wife, and his new perfect son.
Harden slurs and takes another drink. I stay quiet while he continues.
You should see the dump that my mum lives in England. She says she likes it there, but I know she doesn't. It's smaller than my dad's bedroom here. My mum practically forced me to come here for university to be closer to him, and we see how that worked out.
With this little bit of information he has given me, I feel like I can understand him so much better. Harden's hurt. That's why he is the way he is. How old were you when he left? I ask him. He eyes me warily, but answers.
10. But even before he left, he was never around. He was at a different bar every night. Now he's Mr. Perfect and he has all this shit,
Harden says and waves his hand toward the house. Harden's dad left when he was 10, just like mine, and they were both drunks. We have more in common than I thought. This wounded and drunk Harden seems so much younger, so much more fragile than the powerful person I've known so far. I'm sorry that he left you guys, but...
No, I don't need your pity,
he interrupts. It's not pity, I'm just trying to...
Trying to what?
Help you. Be here for you, I say softly. And he smiles. It's a beautifully haunting smile and makes me hopeful that I can help him through this, but I know what is really about to happen.
You are so pathetic. Don't you see that I don't want you here? I don't want you to be here for me. Just because I messed around with you doesn't mean I want anything to do with you. Yet here you are, leaving your nice boyfriend, who can actually stand to be around you, to come here and try to help me. That, Teresa, is the definition of pathetic,
he says, punctuating it with air quotes. His voice is full of venom, just like I knew it would be, but I ignore the pain in my chest and look at him. You don't mean that. I think back to a week ago when he was laughing and tossing me into the water. I can't decide if he is a great actor or a great liar.
I do, though. Go home,
he tells me, and raises the bottle to take another drink. Reaching across the table, I snatch it from him and toss it into the yard.
What the hell?
He yells, but I ignore him and walk toward the back door. I hear him scramble, and then he steps in front of me.
Where are you going?
His face is inches from mine. I am going to help Landon clean up the mess you made, and then I am going home. My voice comes out much calmer than I feel.
Why would you help him?
The disgust in his voice is clear. Because he, unlike you, deserves for someone to help him, I say, and his face falls. I should be saying much more to Harden. I should scream at him for the hurtful things he just said to me, but I know that is what he wants. This is what he does. He hurts everyone near him, and he gets a kick out of the chaos that comes out of that. Harden quietly steps out of my way. When I go inside, I find Landon crouched over, pulling the cabinet upright. Where's the broom? I ask when he's done. Landon looks at me with a thankful smile.
Right over there,
he says, motioning to the broom.
Thank you for everything.
I nod and begin sweeping up the smashed dishes. There are just so many. I feel terrible that when Landon's mom comes back, she'll find all of her dishes gone. I hope they didn't have any sentimental value to her. Ouch! I gasp when a small piece of glass digs into my finger. Droplets of blood fall onto the wooden floor, and I jump up to reach the sink.
Are you okay?
Landon asks, worried. Yeah, it's just a little piece. I don't know why there is so much blood. It really doesn't hurt that bad. I close my eyes as the cold water runs over my finger, and after a couple of minutes I hear the back door open. I snap my eyes open and turn to see Hardin standing in the doorway.
Tessa, can I talk to you, please?
He asks. I know I should say no, but something about the redness around his eyes makes me nod. His eyes look to my hand and then the blood on the floor. He walks over to me quickly.
Are you okay? What happened?
It's nothing, just a little glass, I tell him. He reaches for my hand and pulls it out from under the water, and when he touches my arm, I feel the electricity. Looking at my finger, he frowns, then lets it go, walking over to Landon. He was just calling me pathetic. Now he's acting all concerned about my health? He's going to make me crazy. Literally crazy, as in locked in a padded room.
Where are the band-aids?
He practically demands of Landon, and Landon tells him they're in the bathroom. Within a minute, Hardin is back, and he grabs my hand again. First, he squeezes some antibacterial gel onto my cut, then he wraps a band-aid around my finger gently. I stay quiet, as confused by Hardin's actions as Landon looks.
Can I talk to you, please?
He asks again. And though I know I shouldn't, since when do I do what I should when Hardin is involved? I nod, and he wraps his fingers around my wrist and leads me outside. Chapter 30. Back at the patio table, Hardin lets go of my wrist and pulls out the chair for me. Feeling like my skin is literally burning from his touch, I rub my fingers over it as he grabs the other chair and drags it across the concrete to sit directly in front of me. When he sits, he's so close that his knees are almost touching mine. What could you possibly want to talk about, Hardin? I ask him in the harshest tone I can muster. He takes a deep breath and pulls his beanie off again and places it on the table. I watch as his long fingers run through his thick hair and he looks into my eyes.
I am sorry,
he says with an intensity that makes me look away and focus on the large tree in the backyard. He leans in close.
Did you hear me?
He asks. Yeah, I heard you, I snap and stare back at him. He's crazier than I thought if he thinks he can just say sorry and I will forget the horrible things he continues to do to me on an almost daily basis.
You're so damn difficult to deal with,
he says and sits back on his chair. The bottle I tossed into the yard is now in his hand and he takes another drink from it. How is he not passed out yet? I am difficult? You have to be kidding me. What do you expect me to do, Hardin? You are cruel to me. So cruel, I say, and pull my bottom lip between my teeth. I will not cry in front of him again. Noah has never made me cry. We have been in a few fights over the years, but I have never been upset enough to cry. His voice is low and almost feels like it's part of the night air.
I don't mean to be.
Yes, you do, and you know it. You do it purposefully. I have never been treated this poorly by anyone in my entire life. I bite my lip harder. I can feel the knot in my throat. If I cry, he wins. That's what he wants.
Then why do you keep coming around? Why not just give up?
I don't know. But I can assure you that after tonight, I am not going to. I'm going to drop literature and just take it next semester. I hadn't planned on doing that until now, but it is exactly what I should do.
Don't. Please don't do that.
Why would you care? You don't want to be forced to be around someone as pathetic as me, right? My blood is boiling. If I knew what to say to hurt him as bad as he always hurts me, I would.
I didn't mean that. I'm the pathetic one.
I look straight at him. Well, I won't argue with that. He takes another drink, and when I reach for the bottle, he pulls it away. So you're the only one who can get drunk? I ask, and a wry smile appears on his face. The patio light shines off his eyebrow ring as he hands me the bottle.
I thought you were going to toss it again.
I should, but instead I put the bottle to my lips. The liquor is warm and tastes like burnt licorice dipped in rubbing alcohol. I gag and Hardin chuckles. How often do you drink? You implied before it was never, I say. I need to get back to being angry with him after he answers.
Before tonight it had been about 6 months.
His eyes fall to the floor like he is ashamed. Well, you shouldn't drink at all. It makes you an even worse person than usual. Still staring at the ground, his face is serious.
You think I'm a bad person?
What, is he that drunk that he would ever consider himself good? Yes.
I'm not. Well, maybe I am. I want you to...
He starts, but then stops, straightens up, and leans back on the chair. You want me to what? I have to know what he was going to say. I hand him back the bottle, but he sets it on the table. I don't want to drink. The one was bad enough, given the terrible judgment I have around Hardin as it is.
Nothing,
he says, lying. Why am I even here? Noah is back in my room waiting for me, and here I am wasting even more time on Hardin. I should go. I stand up and head for the back door.
Don't go,
his voice says softly, and my feet stop in their tracks at the pleading tone. I turn around to find Hardin less than a foot from me. Why not? Do you have more insults to throw in my face? I shout and turn away. His hand wraps around my arm and jerks me back.
Don't turn your back on me,
he shouts even louder than I did. I should have turned my back on you a long time ago, I scream and push against his chest. I don't know why I'm even here. I came all the way here the second Landon called me. I left my boyfriend, who, like you said, is the only one who can stand to be around me, to come here for you. You know what? You're right, Hardin. I am pathetic. I am pathetic for coming here. I am pathetic for even trying. But I'm cut off by his lips against mine. I push at his chest to stop him, but he doesn't budge. Every part of me wants to kiss him back, but I stop myself. I feel his tongue trying to pry its way in between my lips, and his strong arms wrap around me, pulling me closer to him, despite my attempts to push away. It's no use. He is stronger than me.
Kiss me, Tessa,
he says against my lips. I shake my head and he grunts in frustration.
Please just kiss me. I need you.
His words unravel me. This indecent, drunken, terrible man just said he needs me, and somehow it sounds like poetry to my ears. Hardin is like a drug. Each time I take the tiniest bit of him, I crave more and more. He consumes my thoughts and invades my dreams. The second my lips part, his mouth is on mine again, but this time I don't resist. I can't. I know this isn't the answer to my problems, and that I'm just digging myself deeper, but that doesn't matter right now. All that matters is his words, and how he said them. I need you. Could Hardin possibly need me the way I desperately need him? I doubt it, but for right now I want to pretend that he does. He brings one of his hands to cup my cheek, and he runs his tongue along my bottom lip. I shudder and he smiles, his lip ring tickling the corner of my mouth. I hear a rustling noise and pull away. He lets me stop the kiss, but he keeps his arms wrapped tightly around me, his body pressed against mine. I look toward the back door and pray that Landon didn't witness my terrible lapse of judgment. I don't see him, thank God. Hardin, I really have to go. We can't keep doing this. It's not good for either of us, I tell him and look down.
Yes, we can,
he says and lifts my chin up, forcing me to look into his green eyes. No, we can't. You hate me, and I don't want to be your punching bag anymore. You confuse me. One minute you're telling me how much you can't stand me or humiliating me after my most intimate experience. He opens his mouth to interrupt me, and I put my finger against his pink lips and continue. Then the next minute you're kissing me and telling me you need me. I don't like who I am when I'm with you, and I hate the way I feel after you say terrible things to me.
Who are you when you are with me?
His green eyes study my face, waiting for my reply. Someone I don't want to be. Someone who cheats on their boyfriend and cries constantly, I explain.
You know who I think you are when you're with me?
He runs his thumb along my jawline, and I try to stay focused. Who?
Yourself. I think this is the real you, and that you're just too busy caring what everyone else thinks about you to realize it.
I don't know what I think about this, but he sounds so honest, so sure of his answer that I take a second to really think about his words.
And I know what I did to you after I fingered you.
He notices my scowl and continues,
sorry, after our experience, I know it was wrong. I felt terrible after you got out of my car. I doubt that, I snap, remembering how much I cried that night.
It's true, I swear it. I know you think I'm a bad person, but you make me...
He draws up short.
Never mind.
Why does he always stop? Finish that sentence, Harden, or I am leaving right now, I tell him, and mean it. The way his eyes seem to burn when he looks at me, the way his lips part slowly as if every word will hold something, a lie or a truth, it makes me wait for his response.
You make me want to be good for you. I want to be good for you, Tess.
Chapter 31. I try to take a step back from him, but his grip is too strong. I must have heard him wrong. My emotions are getting the best of me, so I turn and look out into the darkness of the backyard, trying to make sense of the meaning behind his words. Harden wants to be better for me? In what way? He couldn't mean it. Could he? I look back at him, my eyes hazy. What? He looks unaffected. Truthful? Hopeful? What?
You heard me.
No, I'm sure I misunderstood.
No, you didn't. You make me feel... something unfamiliar. I don't know how to handle these types of feelings, Tessa, so I do the only thing I know how to do.
He pauses and blows out a small breath.
Which is be an asshole.
Once again, I find myself in a trance. This could never work, Harden. We are so different. First off, you don't date, remember?
We aren't that different. We like the same things. We both love books, for example,
he says, traces of liquor in his breath. Even standing here, I can't wrap my mind around the idea of Harden trying to convince me that we could be good together. You don't date, I remind him again.
I know, but we could...